With the state of today's economy, it's more important than ever to invest in products that last for years to come. As the seasons shift and get cooler, make sure your closet is stocked with durable layers that stand the test of time from American Giant. American Giant's clothes work harder and are wearable season after season. Their greatest hoodie ever made is made from the highest quality materials that are cut and sewn right here in the United States. So you're investing right back in your local community. Choosing American Giant means taking a stand for American manufacturing and hardworking Americans, something other mega corporations don't care about. From fleece to knit, all in a range of colors for versatile daily wear, American Giant delivers everyday pieces designed for everyday life. Feel the difference of quality, made-to-last clothes from American Giant. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's time for football season.
Hello? You play to win the game. You don't play to just play it.
On Moneyline.
Show's hot. The
show is hot.
With your hosts, Donnie Wrightside.
13-10 because you can't move the football. And all of a sudden, like, well, hold on. How about if we put athletes on offense and spread it out? Oh, look at that. Track meets in the SEC now.
And Kevin Walsh.
I mean, Donnie, man, 10 touchdowns, 10 interceptions is on the board for this guy. Who else is doing that? Who else is nobody? Nobody's doing that.
On the Sports Grid Radio Network, SiriusXM Channel 159.
Cash it. Here we go. It is a Tuesday afternoon. No better place to be than right here. And that's on the Sports Grid Network listening to Moneyline. I'm Donnie Wrightside. He is Kevin Walsh. Back to back, or should I say doubleheaders last night. Teams that needed to win. Well, I mean, the Eagles did. And yeah, the Buccaneers did. But I think the main point of focus yesterday was on the calf injury for Joe Burrow. How would they stand up in that game? They did. They won. They weren't impressive, but sometimes it doesn't matter. Not massive victory for the Bengals because it keeps their season alive. And I also like to comment quickly on the Eagles game. Apparently, the Buccaneers are horrendous. They were 2-0, or they might have thought they were 0-20. And the Eagles put up close to 500 yards, but everybody says their offense stinks. Love it. Let's go. Let's kick it off.
Wait, are people still doing that with the Eagles? They're actually not that good? Because that would be pretty embarrassing.
They didn't play anybody. They didn't do it. Because you know why? Our good friend, friend of the show, Dove Kleiman, right? Sends out a tweet last night, K-Dub. I believe 21 games, Jalen Hurts 21, and the comment was they don't play anybody. So then I get back on my high horse and go, okay, you're right. They don't play the Chiefs every single week like every other team plays the Chiefs every week but the Philadelphia Eagles. Love that talking point as well.
Hold on. Can I tell you something? Because I realized this last night. Because this is coming, Donnie. Do you remember the narrative heading into this year, people betting under win total Philadelphia Eagles was not the same benefit of an easy schedule. Good luck making it through this. And Donnie, 5-0 Philadelphia Eagles. I mean, come on now. I mean, who's on their schedule? Well, which one is it? Did you not know how to read the schedule? Or did you overrate a five-game window that's coming, you know, weeks 10 through 14? What happened there? Because I don't understand how you can have it both ways. But that's what people do with the Philadelphia Eagles, DRS.
I do love to get it started. It's fun, too, because you hear everything from the outside coming in on that. And there's a lot of whip-arounds we're going to do. But the one that we've always been fighting that notion, which always makes us laugh, because then Sunderland's going to be like, man, you didn't even play Aaron Rodgers, as if anybody else that set of three plays even played Aaron Rodgers this year either. So it is what it is. You can only play who's on your schedule. But I love the fact that a Jalen Hurts game for the Eagles coming into it, where he had a little bit of flu conditions, didn't play all that well, and they still walked up and down the field, which was supposed to be a really good defense there in the Buccaneers.
Let me just say this, right, okay? Jalen Hurts would have thrown for an easy 350 yards in that game if the Bucs defense
which has been incredible on the run, didn't run up against what might be, Donnie, an all-time great rushing attack. The Eagles are always really, really good on the ground.
Yeah.
In what world does anybody, Donnie, average about 7 yards a pop on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? That was incredible last night and probably cost us some wagers. Like, Hurts was able to get over his yardage, but in terms of A.J. Brown touchdowns and things like that, the Eagles didn't have to throw the ball full force because apparently, even against what was the best run defense in football potentially already heading into last night, Eagles came through and dominated them. My goodness, is DeAndre Swift the offensive player?
I don't understand what I'm watching with DeAndre Swift, to be honest. So I go back to like the Detroit Lions and say, I don't know how you were using this guy or the feel that you had to continuously draft running backs when this guy looks bigger, faster, and stronger than any. Like, I'm talking about last night when the game ended. Like, is it really Swift and McCaffrey as the two best running backs in football right now? Because the way he looks behind that offensive line is absolutely outrageous, Kevin. It's outrageous how good he looks.
I mean, Donnie, like, the guy had 3 rushing yards in week 1 and is second in terms of most rushing yards of anybody in the league this season. I mean, it's incredible. Now, again, like, who gets on the hot seat, though, for the whole week 1, Kenneth Gainwell, 15 carries, DeAndre Swift 1? Like, the fact that, what would have happened if Kenneth Gainwell didn't pick up an injury and couldn't play on a short week Thursday night? Like, that, it's very interesting how that worked out.
Yes. But yet, in 4th and 2, Swift is unstoppable. Gainwell gets it, doesn't get the first down. And we all go, like, I don't understand what I'm watching. They go, okay, don't do that again, and you run Swift. But the Eagles, if they're not even playing their best football, it's going to be interesting to watch the rest of the way. But let's focus also on the Cincinnati Bengals last night. Big-time victory. And I got to tell you something, Kevin. Sometimes, you know, I don't know if coaches understand, like, what the I want to say what the theory is for the game plan or what you should be doing, but I got to tell you, if my $300 million man is back there and his calf is really hurting, I'm not too sure we're standing in the pocket 49 times or whatever it was in one game and delivering passes here. That's just me. Your thoughts last night on, I believe, what did he throw, like close to 30 times in the first half, it felt like?
31.
My goodness.
31 was. I got to be honest with you, I kind of loved it. If only because, and I'm not, by the way, out of this group of people I'm about to reference, but everybody that was on, oh my goodness, well, obviously they're going to run the ball about 15 times with Joe Mixon, like, in the first half, and the Bengals being like, yeah, like, hell we are. We're going to throw the heck out of this rock and just keep firing away, which was really, like, it was surprising, but now, like, I don't know about you, but I come out of the game going, oh, so the Bengals are fine. Like they couldn't find the, so as someone who bet the over in that game, Don, and that was one of those, look, it happens. Football was moved all night long. You know, touchdowns were field goals, and field goals were missed field goals. So I have no problem with the loss there. Since he moved the ball last night, they just couldn't convert up into touchdowns. But I almost look at the Bengals as back, or you know, and again, like, I didn't think Cincinnati was, like, I wasn't betting their futures, Donnie, heading into the season anyway, but I come out of that game now, and them finding their footing and get, you know, feeling like a team that'll make the postseason in the AFC is probably the expectations, right?
Yes, it is the expectations, because they brought their C game last night and still won a football game. I'm not saying that it's a major victory to get over the Rams, but you had a lot of pressure on that team, and you could have seen after a quarter or two, like, hey, you know what? My calf really hurts. I can't play in this game, and maybe come away with a loss as opposed to a victory. But it was a season-saving win, and I thought it was interesting where Joe Burrow was basically saying at the press conference, like, hey, what did you think about this game? He said, look, I had to play. I had no choice. If I injured my calf, so be it. But if I sit this game out and watch and we lose, we're done anyway, for all intents and purposes, based on going 0-3. So I understood what they were talking about inside the Bengals, because there was that whole national, like, hey, you got to be careful with this guy. I said, okay, you can be as careful as you want. It's a calf injury. We're not talking about a spinal injury where it's like, hey, man, one hit, you're not playing football anymore. But the fact of the matter is, if some people thought it was best, including Jamar Chase, to rest him for that game where if they lost, you're not getting to the playoffs. Jamar Jamar Chase, by the way, and A.J. Brown, two guys a little bit on the hot seat first 2 weeks, dominating performances in Monday nights.
Yeah, the fact that A.J. Brown had about 150 yards receiving but still no touchdowns, like, ask A.J. how he feels his game went. He'll tell you he was absolutely terrible in the matchup, which I'm not sure I disagree with. The thing, Donnie, is everyone thought they should have rested Burrow the first 2 weeks. The fact that they didn't was probably a good enough indication they weren't going to rest him at all.
No, he's not getting rested. He's going to play that game or else the season was over, and then if they lose, you can put him on the IR for the rest of the way at that point. But it is what it is. They won. Philadelphia Eagles won. We look forward to the next week in football. Let's get after it right here on Moneyline.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, Kevin, we could talk about, you know, Travis Kelce's jersey sales up 400% because the Swifties might be buying his jerseys. Who knows? But that's not the hot topic here. Do you know what I want to get into again? And I feel like now I need to take a stand and start enjoying this more of a rubbing in the face of apparent idiots who don't understand the game of football or what rules actually are. And teams can do the same things week in and week out. Do you have any idea, Kevin, where I am going with this tale here? The tush push. Good guess. That's correct. Yeah. I watch it on TV. They make such a big deal out of it. And everybody says it is unstoppable. And quite frankly, it might be if you need 1 yard. And the fact of the matter is, every single team, Kevin, can do it in the NFL, not just the Philadelphia Eagles. So when I say, well, it's illegal, you got to take it out. And my question is, well, if you invested heavily in your offensive line, drafting and also paying players to be there, if you invested in a quarterback that's not 6'6 and can't move like he has concrete on his legs and is 6'1, 225 and squats 700 pounds and can move it forward, everybody can do that. Why would you penalize the Philadelphia Eagles by playing within the rules on a play that they've obviously found works for them because their personnel is perfect? Now, you know me, Kevin. I like to always go to extremes on this stuff. So when I laugh at that, I say, yeah, okay, you make that illegal. Patrick Mahomes can't improvise on the fly because he's the best ever. Nobody has Mahomes. Like, he can't throw a sidewinder pass. He can't throw a no-look pass. He can't scramble around and make a play. If you want to double down on that, 3rd and 8. You know who can't run? Yeah, Lamar Jackson. Not allowed to cross the line of scrimmage because nobody's as fast as he is in the NFL. And it's really unfair that a stand-up quarterback like Matthew Stafford can't make that same play. Do you see how stupid that sounds? Like, why are we even having this conversation about a quarterback sneak being illegal when every single team can run the same formation and the same play?
It is insane when, like, the argument to get rid of it is, if I'm not mistaken, it's unstoppable. Which, to your right away, is a. I'm sorry. Wait. Are we real human beings or are we playing Madden? Like, I don't understand. Like, when it's Madden, Donnie, and you tell your friend, oh, you're cheesing, you're using the same play, right?
Yes.
Like, that's what we're basically doing here. But the reality is, and I saw someone say this last night. Do we think that no one else in this league, in terms of head coaches, took some time in the offseason and tried to see if their team was capable of the tush push and went, oh, no. I'll give you a perfect example. The Kansas City Chiefs literally can't do it because Mahomes had one QB sneak, was injured on the play, and Andy Reid has completely removed it from the playbook. If they were going to ever run the tush push in Kansas City, Mahomes would go to the bench, and Kelce would have to run the football, quite frankly. So, I don't understand. It's one of the most, like,
It is one of those things. I would at least, Donnie, respect it if people said, it's not fair. The Eagles are already so good. Please, like, can we find a way to make them not as good? Because that's what you're saying. That's what you're saying. This is not some big pandemic swiping around the National Football League where every single play is four straight tush pushes and people are and the games have four drives in them combined. This is ridiculous.
Yes, it would be like saying, okay, you're not allowed to run no huddle. That's not fair. The defense can't catch a breath here between plays. That's absolutely ridiculous. Every team can run the no huddle. It's so many different ways to look at it that I do find it funny. And then you see, like, well, it's an injury waiting to happen. Guys, what's more injury prone? Big guys on the offensive line, 3 inches apart and hitting each other, or two guys running a 4-4 40 and colliding like a missile over the middle. You're telling me which is going to be more of an injury. I even heard Brian Baldinger talk about it because I don't think he was actually meaning to say it, but he was, well, look, guys go low, two linebackers go high, you're asking for injuries. What are we talking about here? What injuries are you asking for when the top speed of that play is a half mile an hour on both sides?
It doesn't make any sense, man. And like, see, that's where you lose me, though. When people start trying to pretend it's about anything other than we can't stop this,
correct?
Like, it's incredibly frustrating. And again, realistically, Donnie, right? Like, the Eagles have just found a supercharged version of the quarterback sneak. Like, the reality, the QB sneak is unstoppable. It's just, you know, like, occasionally it gets stopped, right?
Tom Brady was the best ever. Before Jalen Hurts, Tom Brady was the best ever at the quarterback sneak. Tom Brady.
Correct. Yes. And you know who's also really good at it? Garoppolo, because he spent all those years with Brady. But, like, this is, you want to get rid of the quarterback sneak? And again, tell me a reason why. What's the logic behind it? Oh, we can't stop this. Shut up. Grow up. Get over it. Eagles in a
route.
Let me say this, by the way. Because here's the deal, okay? Eagles have played 3 games, and they've led every single opponent by 16 or more points. Let me tell you, if you're out there right now, I said this last night, Nani. If you believe the Eagles aren't playing well, you should be firing, unloading on their Super Bowl futures. Because when they start playing well, this is going to look like 35-0 against every opponent, as opposed to 22-3 every week.
Yeah. No, it was interesting to watch it play out last night. He had some rain, had some, you know, interesting spots in that game, a couple of turnovers, but also, can we just point out yesterday, like, watching both of those games, there's some standout, like, there wasn't really too much that stood out, basically, in the Rams and the Cincinnati Bengals game. Okay, 19-16. Jamar Chase was fantastic in that game. Outside of that, I was like, okay, this is the way it was supposed to go. What did the odds makers have it at? Finished at 3, game ended at 3. So almost exactly what you thought. But the thing I look at for the Eagles, too, is coming into that game, handicap for me, and I thought the Eagles were the better side at -4.5, got as high as -5.5 because that secondary was coming back. Like, oh, you could throw all day on them. I said, technically, you can throw all day on any secondary when they're down 3 starters anywhere in like any points of a game. Blankenship was out last week. Bradbury was out at cornerback. And also Avante Maddox left that game midway. They came back and made a significant difference yesterday. But the Eagles' defensive line, and I'm not, like, I don't even know where. Like, Reddick was the best defensive end on the Eagles last year. I don't even know if he has a quarterback pressure yet, it feels like. Because I'm so focused on those two mountains in the middle that are disrupting everything. So here's the next point here, Kevin, right? You can't have the tush push. Oh, come on, man. You can't have two guys like 6'5", 400 pounds in the middle of your line. That's not fair. Our offensive lineman can't move those guys. Jalen Carter is outrageous. He was the best player in the draft and somehow wound up on a team that went to the Super Bowl last year. Is pretty incredible.
The team that made by far like the biggest mistake with that whole thing, too, is the Atlanta Falcons.
Oh.
No, it's the Falcons, Donnie, for me. The Atlanta Falcons legitimately, like, the quarterback situation I know is bad, and I know Bijan's a special, special talent. Like, we can all see Bijan's a special talent. But Donnie, like, the reality is Atlanta, if I'm not mistaken, no, excuse me, picked one spot in front of Philadelphia. If you right now could trade Bijan for, you know, Jalen Carter for Bijan, would you? Because that's who the Eagles would have drafted, probably, if Carter would have gone to Atlanta and Bijan would have been on the board.
The way, I mean, you probably, the way it's turned out now, like the Eagles find Swift, like, of course, like, we're, thank gosh, we don't have to be Bijan Robinson because we technically don't need him at this point from an Eagles perspective. Mm-hmm. But when you, defensive line is such a premium. And sometimes you draft a defensive tackle, like, hey, he's this big, strong guy, handles the middle, and that's the way it is. But the fact that you can get a guy that can dominate against the run and the pass, that big, and can rush like he's Reggie White, it's outrageous to see that. And the reason why I brought up the Bears is the Bears also, you know, got scooped out of him as well, and who knows what the Bears are actually doing at this point, but it's pretty incredible to watch that play out. But the Eagles are three and oh teams in the NFL. All of them look really good. The 49ers, the Eagles, and after this break, I do just want to bring up, because I know we're days away here, but the Buffalo Bills are going to take on the Miami Dolphins in Buffalo this weekend with temperatures in the low 70s, no rain and light winds. This could be an all-timer. The Pro Football Today show, we might spend 2 hours talking about that game all by itself, as opposed to talking about the Bears and the Broncos coming up. Woo, boy, oh boy. We got a lot to get to today. Make sure you stick around, including Major League Baseball is on fire as well. It's Moneyline right here on the Sports Grid Network.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Right back at it here on a Tuesday afternoon edition of Moneyline, Sports Grid Network, Sirius XM, Channel 159, Donnie Wrightside, and Kevin Walsh. Now, this weekend, they got a good Thursday night football game, Kevin. Detroit and Green Bay is fantastic. I like that game a lot. I don't know who's playing for Green Bay yet, and or Detroit, which is why Thursday night football games are ridiculous. But Christian Watson said the plan is for him to play. He says his hamstring feels good. David Montgomery has a chance to play here for Detroit, from what I'm seeing. We'll see about Aaron Jones as well. Now, I didn't want to talk about that game, but it's a Thursday night football game. It's a good one. We start this week with games in the UK. Atlanta and Jacksonville, 9:30 a.m. on a Sunday morning. I don't have an issue with that game because we don't have any bye weeks this week, right? So there you go. It's a game that you can watch, and I don't really bet them too much because there's too much outside noise in a game in the UK. It's early start. I'm like, you know what? Usually I just sit back and watch it. Very rarely bet that. And my game, usually I'm not even focused on that. I know why the NFL does it, but I get upset like time and time again. 1 o'clock has a plethora of games, as it typically does. 4 o'clock, there's only 3 games planned. The Vegas Raiders and the Chargers, Arizona and San Francisco, and then they give you the Cowboys, which I usually do at 4:25. They're taking on New England. 3 games. Mm-hmm. I understand. It's about money. I get it. They're saying, like, you'll watch any football we put on, and this is why these companies pay for it. It's a standalone game. We'll make it national, and you're going to watch it and like it. It's just such odd scheduling to me. It gets me every year and every time I see it. We have a stacked 1 o'clock, and I'm not talking about games, like good games, just a ton of 1 o'clock games, and they just slow it down to a grinding halt at 4 o'clock.
Can I say, though, like, you go through that schedule, and it's like, and what's going to happen, Donnie, is they'll do the end of the year highest rated TV games, and then you're like, man, Cowboys, Patriots, crushed. Of course you're crushed. You see what it's going with? Like, the other two games are, one of them's a 14-point spread, and the other's the Chargers and the Raiders, who have a combined 10 fans. Like, don't tell me that Buffalo and Miami wouldn't do better than Dallas and New England in that spot. I won't hear it for a second.
Correct. Like, that's the whole point, like, I try to make out. Like, the fun of Sunday afternoon, and the reason why you love the Red Zone Network, and I have YouTube TV, it's very good. I enjoy that, except when I watch it on my TV, sometimes it lags, and it really gets on my nerves, and I got to go and watch it on my computer, and that's a whole other story. But having said that, you love it because it seems like it's coming at you in 10 different angles. Like, every update, somebody's on the move, somebody's in the Red Zone, somebody's playing, and you guys know it. You watch it. The Red Zone, sometimes at 4 o'clock, like, Scott Hansen's coming on and just basically saying, whatever. Is it Scott Hansen? What's his name? Isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, what? But he's usually, like, stalling for time because 2 games are commercial and nothing is going on in the other football game. It's like, why do we do that to ourselves?
Yeah, we're doing highlights. Who's your fantasy performer of the day? All that stuff. I mean,
yes.
It's odd. It is odd. Now, It is, but, like, I don't know. They don't flex things. What you didn't expect. This is the stuff that always blows my mind. Is like, you expected Niners Cardinals to be good? Like, when you put this slate together? You know what I'm saying?
Yes. Well, I mean, like, they have to be at 4 o'clock because there are two West Coast teams. You're not going to play at 1 o'clock.
Oh, I know, but I'm saying, like, you could have slapped some stuff back there.
That's what I'm saying. Like, would anybody be upset about it? Because usually this is how human nature works, and specifically with gambling. Like in college football, do I like when they give me a good noon game, like a top 20? Yeah, I'm not going to deny it. But you usually say, okay, your appetizers are early. Nobody's going to get mad at a below-average football slate between 12 and 3 o'clock on a Saturday. And then it starts to heat up at 3:30 and 4:30 and a 7 o'clock game and an 8 o'clock game, and away you go. I just feel like the NFL sometimes like does it backwards. Like, hey, ease us into Sunday. Give us 5 or 6 1 o'clock games. They don't have to be bell cows. And just get us ready for, like, I can't wait for that 4 o'clock slate. It is going to be outrageous, and I want to tune in. But again, I understand why they do it, because they want all eyes, like, focused on one game, which is so crazy. It was always the argument I used to make, like, think of how much more money the NFL can make if they took the dish off of DirecTV. But the reason they kept it there is technically they don't want you to have the choice to watch any game you want, because then you're saying, like, well, how do we differentiate who gets the right rights for the car commercials and the beer commercials? And, hey, NFL, you put me on in Los Angeles that weekend. The hot game was Kansas City you should have put me in, because that's what I'm getting at. If you have the dish, you can watch whatever game you want, and that's not what they actually want, which is crazy to think about. You're going to watch this game and like it.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, the one thing that bothers me more than anything is the, like, out-of-market. And so it actually, and I was pretty impressed by this, Donnie, but I was watching the Chiefs-Bears game, and they came out of half, and they were like, well, listen, this is terrible, and the Cowboys are on, and they might lose, so here. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, come on. But I'm still watching. This is the mind of the gambler, right? Yes, 34-0 is not a game to turn off when I need a Patrick Mahomes passing touchdown, and I've got over 47.5. So that game stayed on. But I was like, oh, no, because now I'm thinking to myself, I'm going to go to Sunday Ticket, and they're going to say blacked out because it's the, you know, game that was on the Fox. And it actually didn't, which was good. That I was happy about, because I basically thought I was going to get completely blocked out of Bears Chiefs. You know what I'm saying? We're like, oh, no, you can't watch that game. It's on your cable provider. But no, it's not.
Yes. Yeah, no, it's interesting stuff the way it goes all the way through with that, which how much money in it turns and burns at that point. All right, this weekend, too, 3-0 in the eliminator pool, and 3 of the best games I've ever picked this week here. And it's going to start to get harder and harder because you're using up the top teams. Most people, unless you're like, oh, I got to take a flyer early and take a team that's, you know, I'll pick them and then I'll save teams for later. I don't believe in that, because I start doing that, I lose the game, and I'm like, I'm an idiot. I could be in it till week 10, but I bowed out week 3 like a dope because I tried to do one of these roadblock games at 3 and pick an upset here because I figured I had to burn one of those teams. But this week, it's looking more and more to me. There are a couple games that I think make sense at like 3 and 4, but the Eagles now up to 8.5 over Washington. It's probably where I'm going this week.
A game the Eagles lost last year, right? So was that in Washington,
No, it was in Philadelphia.
Yeah, that's what I thought it was. So I'm sure a game that they're going to be heavily, heavily motivated for. This is the thing about Survivor and the, you know, survive and advance tactic, right? Mm-hmm. Like last week for you, you picked the Niners, and the idea was they're going to win. At no point did it cross your mind, oh, I might want to use the Niners again, right?
Correct.
And to be fair, me picking Kansas City was the same thing. It was not, what am I going to use the Chiefs again? It was just, I trusted the Chiefs more than the Niners last week. And look, I think we were both obviously very correct in who we were trusting. But I'm fortunate now that I get to use the Niners this week in Survivor. And I'm going to. Arizona going back-to-back upsets, Donnie, over Dallas and San Fran. Come on. I can't get there. Mini buy for San Fran at home. I can't get there. So I'm going to be on the Niners this week. And you know, I imagine the Jets, the Chiefs are tempting, but road, Sunday night, you know, do you get the absolute best effort out of the Jets? Maybe that defense can turn Mahomes over once or twice. Again, the Chiefs are probably winning that football game, but the Niners are the team that you'd love to have in your pocket if you have them, and I'm fortunate enough to have them.
Yes, and actually, I look at that game, too, and I don't understand. Like, PointsBet is 41.5, and I say to myself, I'm just going to pencil in KC for 28. You're telling me, like, Zach Wilson on a dry field can't get the double digits? Like, and some people say, yeah, he can't get the double digits. Did you ever see him play?
Interesting.
Well, sooner or later, you're going to stumble into some point. But 41 and a half in a Kansas City game.
I was just going to say.
When also, say, hey, Kevin, what are we looking at? No, there's no weather concerns whatsoever right now on the extended forecast. None.
I'm sure someone will have it. I look forward to the whoever tweets out that this is the lowest total that Mahomes has ever played in. Because it has to be.
Yeah.
But that is not just a Zach Wilson total to me, Donnie. That's a Chiefs defense total. And it's a Chiefs defense where, I'm going to be honest, it's going to take me a little bit to really buy in that this is one of the 10, 8 best defenses in football. But the early returns for that unit are fantastic. Held the Jags to 9, held the Lions technically to 14 because the pick 6 isn't on that defense. And obviously, again, completely shut down the Chicago Bears. How great are those football teams or, you know, in terms of offensively? Well, Lions have high expectations, but it's Goff outdoors. Jaguars are a weird football team all of a sudden, and I warn people about
that. They are.
I warn people about that, but we'll see. And the Bears are an atrocity. I mean, truly just one of the worst things we've ever seen a national football team, you know, league put forward.
Yeah, Graham didn't put a good team together there, K-Dub. He's got to tell you. And if anybody ever sees me, whenever somebody comments on the Bears on my timeline, Grandma Bear goes in there with her Bears hat on and a nice smile, and I always remind myself, like, you know what? The team stinks, probably because you probably should sell that team. Can you imagine that, Kevin? Chicago, a hotbed of football, a rabid fan base. You have a large market where it's only one football team, which is very rare in a market that size. And you are completely inept, top to bottom, every single year, and known as being cheap. Isn't that amazing? You own one of the biggest markets all by yourself, and you're notoriously cheap here. Right down to the point where the stadium deal that they have worked out, where the city has to take care of the field and do all that stuff, and that's always why they have bad turf, because we're not paying for that, and the city doesn't want to pay for it. Unbelievable stuff that always goes on in Chicago. They had a terrible week overall, and I know from it, because here's how my mind operates. They were in it for me to be over a team total over 16 and a half, because I said to myself, this is one of those where the quarterback's upset, the coach is upset. They're going to talk it out this week. It's going to be like, you know what? I'm going to do whatever I want out here, which means if I have to run, I'm just going to run, and I'm going to throw caution to the wind in a game where the other team is probably going to be pounding us. We should at least be able to get some semblance of offense. And I watched that first half, and I talked to myself and said, I'm not so sure. Look, I know it says quarterback on the roster that Justin Fields is playing. I don't know what he was playing, like, at all, at any time. Looks like he didn't want to pass the ball. He didn't want to run the football. Every time he threw, it was like, ooh, I don't even know where this is going. I couldn't figure out what I was watching here, which leads me to believe Matt Eberflus, as we joked about, who is this guy and why is he coaching and how did he get the job? Yeah, exactly. The public was probably right on that. Fantastic hire on Matt Eberflus. But I was hyping something up this morning about BATR coming back this weekend. Dame Lillard time. It's Dame time.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Ah, yeah. Let's think in a little bit of basketball here. Caught me off guard last week when I saw, like, the return of ESPN's NBA Live, or I don't know what they call the show. It's NBA... What's the NBA? NBA Count? Not Countdown. What's the NBA show on ESPN?
Oh,
with Malika. What's it called?
NBA Today?
Something NBA. I don't know. Something like, yeah, exactly. It's probably something like that. But
the jump?
You know, I laugh at it because we're still a couple weeks out. And it's like, all right, we're going to go live. And all they do is have to talk about, like, where LeBron might end up if he wants to be a free agent. And then Dame Lillard, which is still going on from his July 1st, I will never, ever play for Portland again. And then out of nowhere, I see, oh, yeah, looks like they're going to send him to Toronto. And this morning, I said, now, hold on now. You're looking at an NBA superstar that told the league he doesn't care about anybody else anywhere at any time. He's only going to Miami. And you think he's going to be happy knowing that he's not a free agent at the end of the season? Hey, look, man. I'll go to Toronto like Kawhi did. The end, I'm gone. I don't care if we win, I'm the best player. I am ghosting them, and I'm going to wherever I want to go.
Yeah.
He's got 3 years on his contract. There is no way, Kevin, that he is going to agree to. And I, first of all, he doesn't have to agree to anything. They can trade him. But go there and be like, yeah, I'm engaged. I can't wait to play in Toronto. Because also the funny part about that is, did you see the deal that was on the table? Toronto, what are you giving up? Everybody. And it'd just be Dame by himself in Toronto. Awesome.
Well, so this is the bit of this that I'm hesitant on. I actually, here's my big point has always been, you show me the team that's actually in on Dame before I start listening to like, where Dame's going here, Dame's going here, Dame's going there, right? And I guess Toronto is finally now the second team to show true interest in Dame. The thing is, do we believe that interest, Donnie? Like, the Raptors are notorious for being the worst negotiators in the league. Like, you think the Heat are bad. The Raptors are usually like, listen, man, we got Jakob Poeltl here. Him for Lillard straight up. Hard to see how you don't accept that offer. Mm. Like, that's typically what Masai Ujiri tries to do because he's, you know, was able to just steal Kawhi Leonard from, you know, Greg Popovich for a number of reasons. And he's kind of convinced himself that that's how business operates there, which is, it's not. But I'm still just hesitant that Toronto's going to come all the way in. Can Toronto beat the Miami offer? Yeah, probably, right? I would think so. OG Anunoby's far more valuable to Portland, assuming they're trying to be good.
Who
right?
Was it, OG, Scotty? Who else was in there? Siakam? Like, who's playing for Toronto when that deal goes down?
So this is where it's all a little interesting to me, and as I've tried to, you know, you do your best, right, to read the tea leaves of this all, Donnie. What I think's gone on is, I actually think Miami's really negotiated in bad faith here with the Portland Trail Blazers. Because my initial problem was, I was like, I feel like Miami's given Toronto, like Portland, the best they can get. And I think, to some degree, Miami was like, you don't have any offers, man. I mean, Hero, Lillard, we'll throw you a pick, hit the bricks, all right? And what I really think is happening here is Portland finally found a team that is willing to kick the tires on it to some degree. And that obviously is, you know, this, you know, Raptors team, but I still think the end result of this is going to be Dame in Miami. And again, not really because Dame's demanded it, to some degree that, but more so, I'm not sure I fully buy the Raptors' interest here. This is a team, Donnie, that year over year we're like, ooh, do we think they're going to trade all their pieces and tank? And now they're actually going to try and contend for the NBA championship? That's a bit of a 180 for me.
It is a 180. And also, it's not, the Dame doesn't put you over the top. Dame goes to Miami with the package they're talking about, puts them over the top, and you probably think they can contend with the Celtics and the Sixers and, again, get to the NBA Finals. But having said that, I just don't, like, Dame is like, look, I live in Portland here. It's probably boring as all get out. I'm getting taxed in the high heaven. You're telling me I can probably save, I don't know, tens of millions of dollars on the final 3 years of my deal and go live on South Beach and play for championships with some of my good friends, and you're going to ship me to Toronto? That's not... First of all, and Toronto, pick up the phone and call and see what it says. Hey, you make a trade for me? Yeah, I'll show up, and I don't care. And I'm missing meetings, I'm playing, and don't ask me about anything here. Like, oh, that's awesome. Let's give up half our team and go get this guy who obviously doesn't want to be here. It'll end up being Miami here. I do think it's posturing and maybe just driving up the price. And maybe if you're Toronto, you're just messing with the Miami Heat going like,
yeah, why not?
Watch this deal. We're going to try to make you give up more. And we never really have any intentions. He doesn't want to come here. We don't want him, but we'll put it out here as if that might be the case. And that could be a strong playing hand for the Portland Trailblazers. But I thought it was interesting. And they said they wanted to get a deal done before October 2nd, which I believe is most teams' official like press day, where you don't want to answer those questions. Hey, Dame, how's it feel to be a Portland Trailblazer? I'm just here so I won't get fined. Like, I know I'm not here, and why am I here?
So, again, maybe I'm totally wrong, but I'm not sure that is how Dame would act. I think, of course, he'd be disappointed. But I would be a bit higher on this Raptor team, I think, than you would probably if they did add Dame, assuming they are not giving up the world to get rid of him, which I don't think they would have to. If they still have Pascal Siakam and Scottie Barnes, like, I think they'd be able to field one of the, you know, top teams in the Eastern Conference. But that at that point, it gets very price-dependent. I mean, and again, let's remember something with the Miami Heat specifically. Mm-hmm. The Miami Heat were in the NBA Finals without Tyler Hero, who was their third best player, 20-point-per-game scorer. For Miami, mm-hmm. you said that this is trying to push them over the top. But make no mistake, the Heat are title contenders at this very moment. Now, it'll be crushing for them not to get Dame, because how in the world do you not get Dame with the way this situation's played out? And I think that Pat Riley's going to get some heat on him if they don't. But for the Raptors, this is a big decision here of what direction do you want to take this franchise in the immediate future? It's a huge leap if they try to make it.
Yeah, it is a huge leap, and it'll play itself out. And probably by Monday or Tuesday, we'll be talking about Dame down in South Beach and what that means and away you go into the season, and everybody's happy at this point. All right. BATR edition here on Tuesday. Fantastic. You know, NBA is going to be heating up soon. Prop bets, all that stuff. Now, are you going to miss BATR? Because when's it come back on? June? Like, when are you back on the air with BATR?
No, TBD. TBD.
Now, what I'm hearing is football show ends at 1 on Sundays. Clear out the studio, 2 to 3, 2 to 4. Little BATR Sunday afternoons here while the NBA starts. I mean, there's a market for that, K-Dub. There is.
So I don't understand. How come you tried to get BATR canceled when it was actually running? And now that we're out of basketball season, you're trying to get it put back on air. I'm confused.
Because I feel like the passions. Because you're one of the few people that's like, look, nobody really cares about the NBA till Christmas Day. You're one of the few
that does. Yeah, yeah.
So I feel like it's like a passion project for you. It's like, you know what? Let me talk about the NBA, because some people might not know the NBA is back.
Well, I'm going to talk about it on Game Time Decisions. I mean, that's the plan.
Oh, come on.
I do keep threatening guests. I mean, people keep coming to me like, oh, hockey's around the corner. I'm like, let me tell you something.
Oh, wait. Now, hold on now. Yeah, are we getting multiple segments here? Rangers, Flyers, Devils.
That is going to be potentially a big shock for the Game Time Decisions.
Oh, no.
Yeah, those hockey segments are going to be hard to find, man.
Now, how's that go behind the scenes, though, when it's like, all right, well, you got 2 hours, you got to go at least two segments full of hockey tonight? Like, how does that work?
I can't see anyone making that comment. Can you do us a favor and preview some tennis for the night?
Now, here's what you do. You bring me on to do those hockey segments, and we let the people know right there how much fun it is to bet hockey, how we handle hockey, how we cap hockey, how we get down. I promise you more people will be betting on all these sports books about hockey if we handle it that way there. That probably can be worked at this point. Yeah, no, there's no better hockey segments here. By the way, week number 5, college football this weekend. Do we have any premier games that we're looking forward to? Now, I know I took a look at a few. Obviously, the one that always comes up is Colorado and USC.
Yeah.
Really, though, some of the steam is out of the balloon after last week, where Colorado goes on and gets hammered. But they are at home this week, and are we expecting them to get hammered as bad? Because, quite frankly, I think Oregon's a better team than USC is overall.
I do, too. I want to say two things. One, and I'm happy for you that you won your little debate. It's ridiculous that a game in California of this importance is kicking off at 9 a.m.
Pacific
time.
That's beautiful.
Ridiculous, okay? That's one. All right, Donnie, these kids are going to be waking up at 4 in the morning.
Yeah,
do you know what
for the good of the game. So everybody can on the East Coast can enjoy that game because nobody lives on the West Coast. Yes.
Again, that argument works if they played it at 7 as opposed to 10 p.m., not them playing at noon. I hate it.
Big news. All eyes on the prize here. Now, Deion's boys coming back here. You saw the flames and, you know, the post-aftermath, which Oregon felt the need to put another video out there and bang on Colorado's head, which I thought was hilarious.
I don't blame them.
Go ahead.
I don't want to get lost in this, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I like this Colorado team a lot. I have, you know, the win total over 3.5. I've enjoyed everything about them. I thought Deion mm-hmm. handled the loss great. I know these are kids. Man, there's a clip in that video where
I did.
And someone sectioned off the 30 seconds, so maybe you'll find that and you can at least watch that, Donnie. But I believe it's Shiloh, the one that plays defense, Deion's kid, who's saying that, like, I will beat up anybody on that team and your coaches. Which, like, and then I don't understand, like, what we're doing here. Like, I understand that, like, all this is like a rivalry, but I was so surprised that Colorado, who the week prior plays Colorado State, who's clearly punching up, right? And they're stepping mm-hmm. on the Buffalo and their pregame brawl. How did Colorado watch that and then carry that energy into Oregon and punch up and embarrass themselves in that way? And again, like, I don't like, I have no problem. I like confident Colorado. But the approach of, like, we will beat you up. Oh, these guys are small. Stepping on the O. What are you, like, that is believing your press clippings far too much. And the fact that you're, like, they are now favored to lose consecutive games by 3+ touchdowns is a very odd thing. The one thing I was disappointed in terms of the numbers that approach for that game, and, you know, again, I guess I thought I was going to be the smartest man in the room, is I thought the total for the USC-Colorado game would get under 70 because Colorado couldn't move the football against Oregon, and instead they moved it to 73.5. I was like, what just happened here? So I don't know what I'm supposed to do with that football game, specifically the total, Donnie.
Yeah, the crazy part about this overall, though, is we are in a different world where everything is on tape and everything is, specifically with Colorado. Colorado made it a point to say, okay, we're basically a reality show here. That's where the eyeballs come in. That's why Dion is bringing in so much money to the university and so many people care about their games because they're doing stuff that nobody's done. Just look at, like, the NFL. Who wants Hard Knocks? not me. This guy over here in the corner. No, I didn't say anything. I don't want this here. They're doing the opposite, saying, like, put everything on tape, and it's so entertaining to watch. But kids are kids, though, to be honest. Like, we used to say the stupidest things. And the one thing I always have said growing up, look, I wasn't a bad kid, but I did some stupid things at times. We just didn't have social media. I'm thankful for that every day that I'm smart enough that once we got in the social media age where I didn't just go haywire and put things on tape and say things I shouldn't have said, where I don't know what I would have done as an 18 to 20. We were out of our mind. You hear some of the tame stories that I tell you about Division III college football. I mean, it was wildness behind the scenes, and we would have filmed everything just like they're doing. Thank goodness that didn't happen, because who knows? Hey, it stays there forever, but this is what it is. We've got a lot of people going to watch Colorado, root for them and root against them, and that's the hardest thing to do. Have the people cheer and get that heat on you as well. Not cheap heat either out here, K-Dub, what we're talking about. The real heat. We got one more segment here on our Tuesday edition of Moneyline. Come on back. Let's talk a little baseball here. Big matchups tonight. Moneyline. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Ah, Major League Baseball. Yes, it does appear tonight. Some really big games. And as Kevin was talking about, catches up by surprise. Did you know on Sunday that's, what, 70% of your favorite teams will not be playing anymore past Sunday? We head into the playoffs. Afternoon playoff baseball. Sensational. Can't wait for that to start up, but there's a lot of things to be determined, including the Philadelphia Phillies can clinch a playoff spot tonight with a victory at home against the Pittsburgh Pirates. But all eyes out on the West Coast. The very last game of the night. Houston and Seattle. 1.5 game lead now for Houston after they went into Seattle and beat them yesterday. Neither one of these teams could get out of their own way, but at least Seattle got swept by a legitimate contender in the Texas Rangers, whereas the Houston Astros got swept at home by the Royals. I was actually, even though it was Verlander, hadn't been pitching all that well, got the victory yesterday. They're going to need another monster effort at a Javier who hasn't been that good. And boy, oh boy, this is going to come right down to the wire. And if you would have told me, Kevin, 3 weeks ago Houston would be fighting for their playoff lives, I wouldn't have even thought about it twice. And neither did the odds makers going, like, come on, man. You got two series against the Royals and one against the A's splashed in with these other teams. They'll handle their business and be up 4 or 5 games. Not even matter. And yet, here they are, 1.5 games out of the playoffs, basically.
I it's so stunning. It is so, so stunning, Donnie, that but now they, like, drop back to 7-1, and I got to be honest with you, a part of me is like, oh, let's buy. Let's buy Houston. You know what I mean? And I haven't made that decision.
To get Minnesota around 1?
Well, see, I have a piece of Minnesota at plus 950, Donnie. And just because, I've told you this, like, they had the most secure spot in basically all of baseball, in the American League, I should say. So I was like, okay, this is still worth it to me, but if I can get the Astros at 7-1, and I can just move the winner of that series on, I'd actually be very, I'd be great with that. So I got to get into it, but I am thinking about betting some Astros, which is going to break my heart.
Yeah, if you want to look at a team total tonight, look no further than Baltimore going up against Josiah Gray, my worst pitcher on the card tonight. They should eat big time tonight down in Baltimore. Run line them up. A couple RBI props there across the board. That's the way to do it. For JP, behind the wheels of steel, Donnie Wrightside and Kevin Walsh. We'll see you tomorrow right here on the grid. Moneyline.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.